Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. You know, I like to start off this show every day, right? We're broadcasting from beautiful, sunny Southern California. We're lathering. I mean, just rub it in. I've noticed strange substance falling from the sky, kind of wet. I believe the rest of the country calls it rain. We're really not sure what to do with it. Hope you're having a great day. Maybe it's the gods crying over the Dodgers losing, which, of course, breaks the heart of Jason Stewart and John Ramos. Maybe it's the football gods crying over what's happened to the Kansas City Chiefs. This created from above, unbelievable watch of a football team. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's the football gods crying over couple of those ridiculous taunting penalties called this weekend, specifically in college football. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's like a, we're told, like once in a century sort of storm, which, I don't know, to me, the most amazing part of last night's Sunday night football game, where people are lining up in twos, it's raining so much, is that there's no mud, right? Like, again, I don't know what your background is. Full disclosure, I was in Wisconsin. We were in New York for a year, then we moved out to Southern California in 81 and was here my whole childhood. I played football from 7 years old till 14 years old in high school. I chose to specialize. But the most fun you would ever have in the Southern California high school football practice was the day it rained or the day after it rained, and you would do any drill, Oklahoma drill or otherwise, as close to a mud puddle as possible. Matter of fact, this is a true story. It started with me and my brother, and then I would even do it after my brother matriculated to high school, which is, love playing in the mud so much. My backyard I grew up in, Orange, California, had sod in the backyard. Not sod now. It's kind of a mess now. But anyway, used to turn on the sprinklers for like 20 minutes, and then, hey, let's go play one-on-one tackle football. Why? Because there's mud. I'm watching last night. There's no mud. Well, you know, Doug, that the new football fields have this sand underneath, and they have perfect drainage system. I don't care. No mud. The Colts, a dome team playing in a deluge, their jerseys were as white as the driven snow. I wasn't ready for all of that. All right, let's get to the topic of the day, which happens to be the topic du jour. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What in the living heck is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs? It's one thing to be beaten by the Tennessee Titans, a team that has been openly disrespected, not just by the Chiefs and the Chiefs fans, but really by most of us in football. Like, hey, they're a cute little cuddly story. They run the football. They get to the playoffs and then, right? And then they kind of no-showed week one against the Arizona Cardinals at the time. We're like, dude, the Cardinals, really? Now you're like, well, the Cardinals are kind of good. They're like, I don't know, maybe the best team in football. And the Titans weren't good then, but they figured it out. What a week for the Titans. I feel gross in saying this, but pretty good weekend for Clay Travis, right? He's a Braves guy. And a Titans guy, it's so much more fun when all of his teams lose. It's just way more fun. Then there's just a complete meltdown. Anyway, what's happened to the Kansas City Chiefs? It's funny, you know, a couple years ago, I shared the information that I was told by the Chicago Bears in why they chose to pass on Pat Mahomes. They took a good long look, right? Took a good long look at Pat Mahomes. And the reason is, in all honesty, what we've seen so far this year. Right? The ceiling was higher than anybody they felt like in the draft and maybe anybody that they evaluated. But the floor was low because, look, his team now is a lot like a Texas Tech team when he played for Cliff Kingsbury. Not a particularly good defense, couldn't run the football, had some dudes who could catch, and they threw it for a bunch of yards. And he just get back there, and the fundamentals break down, and you feel like you got to take some chances. And look, now he's leading the league in interceptions. He also fumbled. He nearly got decapitated yesterday. I mean, it was a complete and utter dismantling of the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, we can say, hey, their defense stinks. Fair. How many points they have at half? They didn't have any. Right? And last time I checked in football, when they score, they kick it off to you and you get it for as long as you can keep it, right? So I'm not telling you that Pat Mahomes is the biggest problem or a huge, you know, but this was some of the fear. Some of the fear. Here's Andy Reid and the issues his team has.
The obvious, I think, is what you guys can see, and that's got to be fixed. If it's fixed, you're gonna have a chance to win every football game. If it's not fixed, then you're gonna struggle. I can only tell you that we all need to get better on this. It's always good to get after the quarterback or get after, you know, a specific area. It's not one thing right now. There's a handful or two handfuls of things that we've got to get straight.
He's absolutely right. Of course, he's understanding of what some of the narrative is, but it's not fair to simply place all of the blame on line, on running game, on defense, when you have a guy who was anointed as a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, arguably the best quarterback to ever spin a football, and look at his success in his second, third, and fourth year in the league, and go in his fifth year, he should be better, and they're actually worse. Here's Pat Mahomes.
You never go into a game expecting to lose, but lose bad. Definitely, you get shocked because you didn't play the way you wanted to. We have enough leaders on this team. We have to find a way. I mean, I don't know what that's going to take yet. We'll go in. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. We'll watch the film. But I trust that we'll find it. That's what's part of leadership. That's what part of great teams are, is being able to battle through adversity. And it's been kind of rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years. But whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this.
Fair. Totally fair. It's funny, you have people, you know, I saw, I think it was Michael Irvin on TV earlier today say, you know, the dynasty is over. And it's interesting, like, was it really a dynasty? Two Super Bowls, one AFC championship game, which they're one play away, one penalty call, offsides away, maybe from going to three straight Super Bowls. We also don't know if they went to the first Super Bowl, if they would have gone to the second Super Bowl, and if they went to two straight Super Bowls, if they would have gone to the third Super Bowl. Like, there is a certain, it's what it's called, butterfly effect, right? If one happens to the rest, we don't know. But I've sat in this chair at three different networks, and I've seen it called time and again. Young team wins championship at the infancy of what could be a dynasty, and we have expectations of a dynasty, and you start to figure out, holy crap, it's really hard to win it every year. Because the best players want to be paid like the best players, and they've gotten away with some things because they're the best players. And if you don't have a very, very, very special front office, a very, very, very special owner, a very, very special quarterback, these are the type of things that happen. I think what happens to the Chiefs is going to be fascinating. But what's happened to them so far is the roster's not as good. The competition's come a-calling. But his play hasn't been nearly good enough. And the fears of the floor, not that he can't play, not that he can't throw, not that he can't move, not that he can't read it and see it. The fears are, this is who he is. And unless, and you want to let Pat Mahomes have some creativity, but what he's gotten away with can be low percentage. It's no different than Steph Curry, right? In the stuff you're able to get away with, which makes you popular and famous, the contested jump shots, the behind-the-back passes, that stuff, there's a lot of risk involved. There's a reason that for years, coaches would say, hey, don't throw across your body when you're rolling to your right. Then, of course, he throws across his body, and he's successful with it. So, of course, he thinks, I can do this anytime. Only you can't. The whole thing is a fascinating exercise in watching early success and how they deal with success. I don't think Pat Mahomes is a particularly arrogant guy, but anyone who's told that they are Jesus Christ in cleats is going to get a little bit of a God complex and think, don't worry, fellas, I can fix it. And you know what? Go and look at Tom Brady. Go and look at Aaron Rodgers. Go and look, until maybe last year, at Russell Wilson. Do you know what they all have in common statistically? They don't turn the football over. The number one determinant in who wins and who loses football games and basketball games. The number one thing you can track is just turnovers. Doesn't mean you want him to be Alex Smith and check down Charlie, but Alex Smith, despite the fact he doesn't have nearly the talent of Pat Mahomes and could not reach the ceiling of Pat Mahomes, his teams, once they figured out in San Francisco and in Kansas City, consistently won. Why? Because singles and doubles win more games than home runs. All right, speaking of singles and doubles, we got a lot to get to. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I think this is amazing. I really think this is amazing. I sent out a tweet after the Dodgers lost, right? And former All-Stars, potential Hall of Famers, baseball analysts, writers, reporters. It is literally a tweet over my thoughts on why the Dodgers lost. And wait till you hear how it's kind of set the Twitter world a little bit on fire. Tell you if I take it back.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the smile that you used to.
Funny.
But, show, I'm making money. See, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I don't know anything about music producing. I'm friends with a famous friend who is a super talented rapper. I'm not going to name him because I just don't want a name drop like that. But I told him what I will tell you. Again, I can't rap, okay? I can imitate Humpty Hump all I want, right? But I don't care what music genre it is. I feel like I could listen to a song and go, that's a hit, right? Like, I just want to be the guy in the studio and they're like, they get close to done or they play that beat and I'm like, That'll go. Actually, my son wants to do the exact same thing. A real quick parenting experience. So Saturday, my son had a tackle football game, which nearly ended in a moms of both teams fighting. That was interesting. And then four basketball games. And my neighbor has I think he's like two. The name's Grant. And he's awesome. And they need a babysitter. And so one of my 15-year-olds is not really a fan of little kids, but likes Grant. And then my son, they babysat, and I kind of like helped monitor a little bit. It was awesome. Awesome. Little guys are the best. Like little 2-3-year-old boys, they're the best. He must be three. He's three because he had big boy bed, big boy underwear. That's a big 3-year-old thing, right? Right, Ramos? Ramos. We know. I can, without even knowing, like, all right, is he in diapers? All right, so he's got to be three. Happy three. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. So the Dodgers lost Friday night to the Atlanta Braves. Walker Buehler, what was that, the fifth inning which unraveled for him? Fourth inning? Oof. I mean, Rosario is amazing in the series. Like, you couldn't get him out, right? It's like, and Freddie Freeman went from the first two games not, you know, couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat everything he did turned to gold. But it's important to recognize, by my estimation, and I knew this would happen, when the series was over, we completely forget what really happened in the series. Okay? What really happened in the series? What really happened in the series? The first two games were walk-offs. Actually, the first three games, really. Remember, the first three games, the team who won scored in their last at-bats. Right? Because the Dodgers, it was bottom of the eighth inning when Belly hit a home run. So you could, it's very, if I say, hey, you know, they win one of the first two or both of the first two, it's a different series. That's fair. You could also point out, hey, the Braves had the lead in game three. And if they get Belly out on a ball that it's at eye level, the Dodgers lose too. That'd be fair. But it's interesting here because I tweeted out that the Dodgers lost because they didn't have Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw, Max Muncy. I didn't even say Dusty May, although Dusty May, Tommy John, right? Okay, so Bauer, Kershaw, Dusty May, those are three of their best arms, correct? I mean, Kershaw is not what he used to be, but if Kershaw is your third best starter or your fourth best starter going into a playoff series, you're in pretty good shape, right? Trevor Bauer and his off-the-field issues make it messy, but Trevor Bauer was the best pitcher on the free agent market this past offseason, and he was as good as advertised before he got shut down earlier this year, correct? Okay. And if you want to say, well, they wouldn't have gotten Max Scherzer, okay, maybe. Remember, Max Scherzer could have gone to the Padres, instead chose the Dodgers because he saw what they had. So I said, you know, plus Scherzer's arm's dead. They were fried from chasing the division and playing the cards in the play-in, not because it was hard to repeat. Now, this to me, I was watching on television. They're talking about, well, this was hard to repeat. I'm like, I don't think it has anything to do with it. You don't have arguably your best hitter in Max Muncy, and you don't have three of your five best arms, and then you have to play a game in order to get into the playoffs where you have to use your best starter and all of your bullpen and all the energy. Plus, unlike the Braves were in the playoffs. And I know the Braves had their own injuries. I understand. I know who Ronald Acuna Jr. is, okay? I know how good he is. I'm not a complete idiot. I'm a partial idiot. Right? And I know that they had their own Ozuna's out, Soroka's out. Like, I get it. But if we look at how close the series really was, and then you go like, hey, if they didn't have to use Scherzer in the play-in game, he wouldn't have had a dead arm. If they had Kershaw, if they have these Dusty May, like it's a completely different team. It's a lot like the Warriors when they lost to Toronto. So you get Braves fans like this one. F you, Gottlieb, Braves fan since 91. Take your LA Dodgers and stick them up your backside. A little much. Like, the escalation of, hey, man, here's why I think the Dodgers lost to F you, you idiot, is really remarkable. Let's see here. Please cry about it. Your team's, it's not my team. I'm not a Dodger fan. I'm an Angel fan, man. We get the two best players and still suck. Right? Just can't figure out the pitching thing. Next man up. With that kind of payroll, you shouldn't lose a game. Well, how much money is on the DL, you dummy? Right? Like, they paid for the best pitching, and then three of their best pitchers aren't there. So, and two of them make a gaggle of money. It's really fun. Dude, you can't actually be so effing stupid. Like, again, the escalation of it. There was no, hey, the Braves really suck here. And I understand it's also baseball. Guys get hot. Guys don't get hot. There's decisions made. There's bullpen games. There's all this other stuff. That's my opinion. right? That's my opinion. Because you look at it, you're like, well, how could a 106-win team lose and not? Okay, well, like, look, they didn't have Max Muncy. It's kind of a big thing. Did you? Ramos, how good a year did Max Muncy have?
He had a great year.
Yes.
He had like 37 home runs.
Is that it?
Yeah. Over 100 RBIs, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Is that good? Is he pretty good?
Yeah. He's very good. Yeah.
I mean, look, to me, the big thing was, and I told you guys this beforehand, the wild card did its job. Baseball set in place the wild card to get extra teams, specifically Yankees, I believe, and Red Sox in the playoffs. Did its job. In this case, got the Dodgers in the playoffs as well. Did its job. Okay, but what the other part, that the new rules to it, they want to make it so that if you win the division, you get an extra benefit. And the benefit is that other team is going to have to use their starter, their best starter, and their bullpen just to get into the series. And then it just becomes you're constantly trying to get back above water. So I reserve the right to be wrong. We can have a back and forth. Ramos is a bigger Dodger fan than anybody I know. He may think I'm an idiot. Both of these guys hate that the lineup is up and down. We can play Dave Roberts. We can play Hal 9000. That's the computer from Nevermind. That, you know, the idea of analytics as opposed to baseball decision. We can blame all those things. This is my opinion. And I love that Curt Schilling wants to get in. You're allowed to have a different opinion. But the idea you can go from that to you're an effing idiot, go suck on it and stick it up your backside, like, okay.
Well, no, those are fans. And like I made a conscious effort after the game was over to just start retweeting what I found to be stupidity on Twitter. And people were actually liking them because they thought I was like actually agreeing with them. But it was just my way of showing like how dumb people are on Twitter and how they say things like that. It wasn't even a response to you of like, Doug, here's what I feel is happening and here's how I disagree with you. It's just, hey, go F yourself. End of Twitter. Like, how does that even accomplish anything? Like, what really is the point of that?
I don't really know. I mean, look, this is why people melt down on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, meltdowns are great.
No, but it's why I think a lot of people with blue checks, though, they melt down.
Oh, the blue checks.
because what happens is people come at you and yes. call you a blanking idiot and you start to go back him. That was my failures on Twitter in the past were that.
Yeah, you have know? To learn to restrain yourself. I just write back, thanks for listening.
I just.
I mean, because you can't.
Seth Davis is a great one.
Okay.
He likes to mute people, not block them, and he calls it squashing ants. So let's get to Ben Volin, who covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. Sorry, Ben. I'm actually watching something on TV here. Okay, Kansas City. What is your estimation of what the hell's going on there?
There's so many issues with this Chiefs team, and you have to start with the defense. Arguably the worst defense in the league, and I think you see it affecting the offense where Patrick Mahomes and company are probably pressing and figuring they need to score 50 points every week just to be able to keep up with the defense. So that's dysfunctional. And then the offense, I think, is very top-heavy. They still have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but I think they miss Sammy Watkins. They don't have a great number three option. And, you know, teams, it's like the Chiefs kind of brought the band back together one year too many. They haven't really looked ahead to the next future. It's just same old cast of characters, Mahomes, Kelce, Tyreek Hill, you know, on down the line, and I wonder if they've gotten a little stale.
They tried to rebuild the offensive line. That seemingly hasn't worked, and that hasn't allowed them to run the football. I also think, like, look, everybody loves Pat Mahomes, and you can only do so much, but the turnovers and the hero ball a little bit is becoming a massive issue.
No question. A sixth straight game with an interception, I think his longest streak. He's got more picks this year than in the previous 2 years, and we still have more than half a season to go. But, you know, I do wonder if how much of that is him pressing because they're worried about the defense and just kind of the composition of their team right now. But no question, Patrick Mahomes has just been way too sloppy with the football. And look, they're still only 3-4, and right. They can still score points. So let's not, you know, bury the dirt on them just yet. But they do have a long way to go here.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Ben Volin joins us. What do we make of the Bengals? Are they, hold on, wait for it, good?
Yes, and to pat myself on the back, last week I put an ink, the Bengals are for real, and that was before they beat the Ravens. So I'm definitely taking the W on that. Look, they're so well balanced, and I know Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are rightfully getting all the headlines, and Burrow's been awesome coming back from, you know, a pretty good rookie season and then a very bad knee injury. He's just taken off in year two. But the Bengals defense is legit. They signed Trey Hendrickson from the Saints to this big money contract. He's got 6.5 sacks. They've got a second year linebacker. I think his name is Wilson. I barely even heard of him. He's got 4 picks already this year. The Bengals defense is top 10 in points allowed. They completely manhandled Lamar Jackson, held him to 15-31 passing yesterday. So the Bengals are deep on offense, and Joe Burrow's got some great weapons there, but their defense is equally strong. So that is, I think, a team that's kind of built to last this year.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Matt Nagy's got COVID, right? So we're not going to hear from him saying, I told you so. But is that an I told you so because he's got a young quarterback who's not ready?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Fields is the unreadiest of all the bad quarterback play this year. Doug, I think there's 33 qualifying quarterbacks, and the bottom 4 are all the rookies, Lawrence and Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Davis Mills. The rookie class, other than Mac Jones, is just getting pounded right now. And Justin Fields, clearly not ready to play. First quarterback in 2 years to have 5 turnovers in a game yesterday, 38-3. You know, the offense has not been functional with Justin Fields, and he's taking a ton of sacks. And to me, that's not on the offensive line. That's on a quarterback who's just not ready to play. And if you're the Bears, you're feeling nervous as heck that you just screwed up Mitchell Trubisky for 4 years, and then here you go. And you could have had Mac Jones, but instead you took Justin Fields, and you took potentially took the wrong guy again. So, and I think you have to worry that here we go again. We don't have a coach who's ready to, who's not the right guy to be developing our young quarterback. So the Bears look like just a total mess right now.
What's really going on in Houston with Deshaun Watson?
Well, they clearly want to trade him, and they've got a week. I think the trade deadline is next Tuesday. So when I keep seeing these reports that the Dolphins are close, this and that, it seems like Houston is really trying to light a fire under the Dolphins or whoever team they're talking with, because, look, they only have 1 more week, and then they've got to sit on him for the rest of the year. And I think they will sit on him if they have to. They're not, you know, his salary this year is reasonable enough. He's making $10 million, where I think Nick Caserio needs to sit on that and make sure that he gets the right return for Deshaun Watson. And I still have a hard time thinking that a team is really going to be able to willing to sell the house, sell the farm to get Deshaun Watson when you still don't know what his status is going to be. That said, if I had to point one team right now who would be crazy enough to do it, it's got to be the Carolina Panthers. They were 3-0, now they're 3-4. They've got a very good defense, and their quarterback play is clearly holding them back. David Tepper, he's got money growing on trees there. Money is no object. Darnold's clearly not the answer. That, to me, is a team that would be crazy enough to go make a play for Deshaun Watson, because I think he could turn that season around right away. So it's like the Dolphins at 1-6, they're done. So I don't think they need to worry about going to get Deshaun Watson right now. But to me, the Carolina Panthers, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the only thing I'll back up Darnold with is this. When you don't have Christian McCaffrey, it's a completely different team, right? I mean, you know, last 3 games, 1, they played better competition, but then 2, they didn't have Christian McCaffrey. They're a completely different team.
Yeah, but that's almost not a valid excuse, because McCaffrey's banged up so often. So you've got to get a quarterback who's going to be able to carry the team when McCaffrey's not in the lineup.
No question. But how does Deshaun Watson play this year? What does the NFL do with those civil cases?
I think the NFL would probably let Watson play. The NFL has been lucky that the Texans have taken him off the field right now, and the NFL hasn't really had to do anything to it. But look, the NFL's history is to let the guys keep playing until the court case is resolved. And these lawsuits may not be resolved for a long time. And if Watson is eventually found liable or guilty, I mean, he could be in serious trouble both with the NFL and the law. But for now, it's still something that's tied up in the courts. And so I think if he really forced the issue, that the NFL would probably let him play this year.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of of Ben Volen. Okay, this part to me is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl when their head coach can't manage the clock?
Yeah, that's going to be difficult. The Cowboys are such a boom and bust team, and there's been a lot of boom so far. And we saw them here in Foxborough a couple weeks ago, and Dak Prescott's incredible, and he's got some unbelievable weapons around him. And Dan Quinn's defense creates a lot of turnovers too, but that's as you said, they don't have great clock management from Mike McCarthy, and Dan Quinn's defense does give up a lot of yards and points, and Trevon Diggs is not going to come up with picks and pick sixes every single week. Eventually that's going to come to an end. And so I love the Cowboys this year. You know, usually they're all hype and no substance, but this year there's a lot of sizzle and a lot of meat to the Cowboys. But that NFC is so top heavy with the Cardinals and the Packers and the Rams, all these great teams in the NFC. You have to think that the Cowboys are going to have to be disciplined and on their game when they play the elite teams. So I love where the Cowboys are at, but that NFC is just very strong this year.
Obviously an incredible week, but you know, I do fear that the recency bias, is Tennessee the best team in the AFC?
Well, hey, your Cincinnati Bengals might have something to say about that, Doug. The Titans definitely seem like they've hit their stride right now. Back-to-back wins against the Bills and Chiefs. You got to love that. Both were at home, but still excellent wins. And they're finally getting healthy. I remember seeing them, Doug, in training camp, and Julio Jones wasn't practicing, and A.J. Brown wasn't practicing, and Bud Dupree, who they gave all his money, he still wasn't practicing. They were just really banged up, and they didn't have any time together. And then you saw it in week one. They got their doors blown off by the Cardinals, and then they lost to the Jets in week four, and A.J. Brown's finally healthy now, 133 yards and a touchdown. And Bud Dupree got his first sack yesterday. And they figured out their identity, of course, with Derrick Henry as a battering ram back there. So they've hit their stride, and the AFC is kind of wide open. So it's there for the taking. And they already have a two-game lead on the Colts, and they play the Colts again for the second time this season. They could basically wrap up the division in week eight. They could have a three-game lead over the Colts. So the Titans are definitely hitting their stride. They just need to stay healthy.
Ben, great stuff, man. I appreciate you joining us, and let's look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, Doug. Thanks, man.
That's Ben Volen joining us from the Boston Globe. Ram is redefining what a truck can be, leading in interior design, technology, and overall quality. If you're buying a truck in the past, good luck. If you're buying a truck today, buy a Ram. Learn more about what Ram has to offer at ramtrucks.com. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Deshaun Watson would consider being traded to teams other than the Dolphins. I'll tell you next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Some gambling news. If you're checking this out on BetRivers, I was looking during the break. Packers were a 3.5-point dog against Arizona next week. Their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, out with COVID. And, you know, they have others with COVID protocol, you know, and contract tracing, all that other stuff. The Lions moved from 3.5 to 4.5. Okay, so Cardinals, 3.5 to 4.5-point favorites. And I know that they've struggled to travel to California. Obviously, they played poorly in Jacksonville to start the season. That one's going to be an interesting one come Thursday night. Let's get you to Dan Byer.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Game time is brought to you by Bet Rivers. Check out the latest in the world of sports. The most trusted name in online sports betting is Bet Rivers Sportsbook. You must be 21, must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
All right, big deal, little deal, or no deal, brought to you by the Breeders' Cup. With 14 championship races worth $31 million in purses and awards, the Breeders' Cup is 2 days of horse racing too big to miss. Learn more at breederscup.com/2021 or bet now at tvg.com. Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that the Houston Astros are back in the World Series for the third time in 5 seasons.
Don't care.
No deal.
Kidding. It's a big deal. It's a big to everybody who said, like, you only got there because you are beating trash cans. Well, I mean, it did definitely help, but they're also really good. I mean, yeah, really, really, really good. Really, really good.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal,
really good.
That Deshaun Watson would consider other teams outside of the Dolphins as possible trade destinations.
This just feels like all of this stuff is either coming from Deshaun or from the Texans. They're like, well, we'll consider anybody. Does anybody else want to make a bid? The idea that it's like the hey, they might make a trade, you got a chance. That feels like now we're at a reach. It does feel like it's coming from Watson's camp more than anything else, more than Houston's camp, because Houston's run by some former Patriot guys, and they won't let anything out. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I would also say this with the Panthers. Like, I still think that Russell Wilson is a possibility in the offseason. So even for both the Dolphins and the Panthers, and the Panthers GM came from the Seahawks, Scott Fitterer. So there could be, I don't know why these bad teams would need to do a deal with the Texans. So I don't think they want to.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I agree with you that I think it's coming from the Texans. Yes. Now I'll shut up.
Yes. No, I think it's coming from, I can't tell Texans or Watson. I can't tell who it's coming from, but that's where the leaks are. And to me, it's all about like just trying to create leverage and interest there. That's the only reason it gets out.
My self-imposed talking ban is over. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan answered, quote, I would guess so, end quote, when asked if Jimmy Garoppolo would start week 8 against the Bears.
Look, Jimmy was bad last night, you know, and then the comments from Martellus Bennett, you know, when he was in New England don't help him. But I mean, like, dude, they were playing in a monsoon. It's anybody's ball game. I get it. He hasn't been good. They were trying to find him another home anyway. But like, is Trey Lance going to make them better? I don't see that either. He's not ready to play. I think it's a little deal.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal. Switching gears to college football, that Illinois and Penn State played a college football game that went 9 overtimes.
And the winning score, it was 20-18?
Yes. Well, they only count the conversions as 2 points.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it's crazy, though, right? First, how many touchdowns guys acquired with the pass rules, but also just 9 overtimes in and of itself is just beyond bonkers, beyond crazy. Like, yeah. Really?
I know people didn't like it that when it was happening, but it's only one play. It's a conversion, and it just happened to go for a long time. I actually didn't think it was as bad as people made it out to seem. All right, big deal.
So when does it become it's all a conversion?
Yes, that's all it is. Like after into like the third overtime, they're just conversions.
Right, after the third, into the third overtime, yeah. Right? And it used to be you'd score, and then the third overtime you had to go for two, and then they're just like, all right, let's just go for two. Which, again, I hate overtime rules.
Correct. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that Oklahoma needed everything to beat a one-win Kansas team on Saturday.
I mean, it was about to be really fun. No one melts down on Twitter like arrogant OU fan, right? Especially after coming from behind to beat Texas. And but I do think it's a little deal. Like they won the game, right?
Yep.
That's all that matters. You win by one more point, doesn't matter. How many Ohio State, when Ohio State wins a national championship, almost every time they do so, there's one of these escapes. We're like, how'd they win that game? And you go back and look, but that's what happens.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
The playoffs do not begin today. You're like, thanks, Gottlieb. I kind of knew that one. But we'll do this thing for a second. If the playoffs were to start today, do you know who the number one seed in the AFC would be? The Cincinnati Bengals. What's real, what's not? We discuss next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.